Chapter 4, The Black Gate. Inside the pattern of the Magister's binding, the voices of the dead were not a whisper, but a roar. "This is the stupidest thing we've ever done!" Varric yelled over the unearthly howl. "You did not have to follow me," Fenris shouted. The corpse swiped at him barehanded, and he twisted away. The blows, when they landed, hit like hammers. He had learned almost immediately that ghosting made it worse. The possessed body could no longer touch him, but the demon puppeting it had no such limitations, and it was much more fearsome. "Are you kidding?" Varric bellowed. "Of course we did!" He loosed another volley of crossbow bolts. They glittered with bluish frost as they struck the corpse's flank. Meryl was limning them with ice magic. Fenris could see her, out of the corner of his eye, fighting with her staff reversed, the bladed haft close by her hand so she could slice into her own flesh for more blood and more power. The possessed corpse had no weapons, no armor, and very little by the way of strategy. Fenris had faced revenants whose glittering, intelligent eyes had rendered them in some ways far more frightening. This felt more like fighting a rage demon, and it was not fear he felt, but growing and exhausted despair. It was so strong. It hit hard and did not tire and did not slow. It did not defend itself either, but a creature of such power did not need to. It shrugged off the ice-tipped missiles like pinpricks, and its ancient, papery skin might have been made of steel for all the damage Fenris's sword did to it. It was fast as well. The blows he landed were few. None of them staggered it for even a second, and certainly not long enough that one of the others could press the advantage. And the howling voices were hard to ignore. "Traitor! Traitor! Traitor! Traitor!" they screeched. Fenris set his jaw and focused on the thing in front of him. It swiped at him and gnashed its teeth. Its attention was all for him. "Traitor!" He was better able to bear its blows than Varric or Meryl, at least. Even as he had the thought, it managed to land a blow on him. Its closed fist gleamed with blue light and felt like the heavy slam of a mace when it connected with Fenris's shoulder. If he had not been armored, it would certainly have shattered his collarbone. As it was, he stumbled and went to one knee under the force of it. A red-tinged shield sprang into being over him, for just as long as it took the creature to swing down its fist in a killing blow. "Be careful, Fenris!" Meryl cried as he forced himself back onto his feet. The thwarted demon shrieked. He felt his face twist in a snarl of effort as he came to meet it again. "How the hell do we win this one?" Varric shouted somewhere behind him. "Daisy, any ideas?"
"I don't know!"
"Can we trick it? Get around it? We don't need to fight the damn thing if we can just get the orb and get out of here." Fenris spared a sideways glance for the altar. An error that, and one which nearly earned him a broken arm. Of the three of them, he thought, he was the quickest on his feet. He could break loose from this fight and make a dash for the orb. The demon's attention would turn to Meryl, the blood mage, if it were distracted even for a moment from the betrayal it saw in him. He knew it. He could feel it. It gave him a shocked, shuddering feeling, a sense of near dislocation from the world to find himself understanding this fade creature so well. If the monster turned on Meryl, he told himself, it would certainly kill her quickly, and the orb was no key to the fade without her. "I'm serious," Varric was saying somewhere behind him. The strain of the battle was clear in his raised voice. "We can't beat this thing like this."
"I'm going to try something," Meryl cried. Brace yourselves."
"On what?" Fenris shouted over the dead slaves howling.
"Well, try not to fall over."
Then there was a soft, wet gasp of pain, which told Fenris all he needed to know. For Meryl to even notice the pain of an injury she had given herself, the cut must be deep indeed. Then the ground began to split open. The solid rock of the cavern floor uncoiled and flexed itself as if it were a dragon's heaving back. Piles of bodies tipped sideways, corpses sliding over each other. Ancient, brittle bones snapped as the dead were scattered like rag dolls. Magic. Fenris gritted his teeth and tried to keep his footing. The demon bound to its body was as much at the mercy of this uncanny development as he was. It could not spare the attention to attack him, but then he could not attack it either. Varric was cursing fluently somewhere behind him. Spires of red-tinted rock began to erupt through the floor around the cavern, angled like blades. One barely missed Fenris's right arm. The tumbling corpses came to rest in piles around the troughs beneath the spires, and the wailing of the dead was mixed with the low, grinding grumble of the protesting earth. The intricate pattern of the Magister's binding started to disappear as the earth heaved and twisted. The demon turned and turned again, confused. Only two patches of solid ground remained at last. One, now a high, rocky pillar, held the altar and orb. Meryl stood on the other, white-faced under her clan markings, one hand pressed over her abdomen. Her robes were staining red between her fingers.
"It's all right," she said shakily, in a voice that cut across the din. "Quite all right."
With her other hand, she still held her staff. She brought it down in a splendid gesture of command that was oddly familiar. Fenris did not intend his eyes to widen. Hawk. Mages learned from each other, shared their vile tricks, and that was Hawk's flashiness, Hawk's bold certainty, Hawk's way of doing magic. In answer to Meryl's gesture, the columns of solid ground began to slide inexorably together. Fenris stared up at them. Varric's swearing turned profane and increasingly anatomically unlikely. The baffled demon was surrounded by a wall of sharp rock spires. It paced angrily back and forth in its cage. Meryl limped from one tall column to the other. She dropped her staff and had to catch herself on the altar as she stumbled. One hand she still kept pressed over the bloody patch on her abdomen. With the other, she reached for the orb. It seemed almost to roll into her hands. The heaving ground stabilized abruptly. The columns sank down to a normal level. Meryl said, "Oh dear," faintly, and hobbled a pace or two, and then stopped with a wondering expression. Fenris reacted only just in time. He sprang forward, and when she collapsed, she fell into his arms rather than straight to the floor.
"Oh, hello,"
Meryl said, mostly into his shoulder. She was very light. She was clinging to the orb.
"Shit," said Varric right next to him. "Shit, shit, do you have any..."
Fenris shook his head, still propping her up. He had run out of healing drafts as he endured the demon's blows.
"I've got a couple. Take this, Daisy. Drink up. It's good for you."
Meryl weakly batted his hand away.
"No, no, lyrium. I can heal myself if I drink some lyrium."
"Have you got any?"
"Belt pouch, I think."
Fenris laid her carefully on the ground. It was full of odd cracks and troughs now. The rock was heaped up on itself like petrified cloth. Varric muttered worried words and held a lyrium potion to her lips. Meryl coughed a few times, but white light flickered slowly into existence, first around her bloody hand and then her whole body. The orb had fallen from her weakened fingers when she tried to push Varric away. Fenris crouched carefully and picked it up. It was very light in his hands. Fine carvings on its surface were not immediately obvious to the eye, but felt strange and prickly to the pads of his fingers. An artifact of ancient, evil magic. The harbinger of the blight. And perhaps the key to Hawk's salvation. Strange that something so small could contain so much. The prickling sensation it gave his hands was unnerving. He shifted his grip. The surface of the orb brushed against one of his lyrium markings. Agony flashed through him. All his markings blazed into light. So too did the orb. He dropped it, shuddering, stumbling back. Meryl twisted after it and cried out in pain. The demon in its cage of rock screeched.
I got it,
Varric said.
No, don't!
Meryl's warning was not necessary. The orb shone like a miniature star. To lay a hand on it now would be madness. At the far end of the cavern, something was happening to the black arch of the Magister's Gate. Fenris watched, sick to his stomach, as the dull reddish gleam beneath the arch seemed to pulse, twist, and snap. Gray-green fog boiled out of the distortion. Only when the whole space beneath the arch was filled with the strangeness did it stop. The orb went dull.
What is that?
Fenris said.
Varric breathed out hard and said, Feydrift.
He offered Meryl a shoulder to rest a hand on as she climbed unsteadily to her feet. The bleeding had stopped, but she was still very pale. The three of them stood in a row and stared at what they had unlocked.
Big Feydrift,
Varric said. And then he added a quiet but heartfelt profanity. On the far side of the gate, just visible through the mists, lay the unmistakable beginnings of an old Tevinter highway. The slave-built roads that looked the same from Imrathus to the Kokari wilds, with their arched checkpoints and their magically smooth surfaces. It was realer than the fog around it, that road, an outpost of physical existence. The brick and stone of this world defied the dreamscapes with their solidity. It led upwards.
I guess we go that way, Varric said faintly, at last. Or not that way?
Well, I don't think Hawk will be in the Black City, said Meryl. We'd better not follow the road.
We have no road to follow,
Fenris said. The enormity of the task he had set himself was finally making itself felt.
The fate is vast. Hawk could be anywhere, could have gone anywhere. That is, if he even lives.
The demon in its cage screeched again, cutting him off. There was a soft thump and a rustling. All three of them froze.
Oh, dear, said Meryl. Nothing scares me more than you saying those two words, Daisy, said Varric. If we turn around right now, are we going to like what we see?
I hoped it wouldn't notice yet, Meryl said.
I broke the binding when I made a mess of the floor.
Which means...
There, said Fenris. One of the many hundreds of slave corpses was twitching as something took control of its long-abandoned flesh. He turned towards it, saw movement out of the corner of his eye. Another was moving, too, and another. The corpse in the stone cage had collapsed, motionless, dead, empty. The demon did not need it. It had a vast army of puppets to command. They twitched and rose and advanced. An army of the dead now stood between them and the gateway to the Fade.
This gate was sealed,
their master whispered in its terrible voice.
This gate was hidden. This gate was mortared with our blood, and it should never have been. You will not use it. No one will ever use it again.
The mental shriek of its voice was matched by an all too real shriek of grinding stone as something gave way in the cavern ceiling. And it collapsed behind them. The way they had come in was blocked.
Well, that's not good, Varric said.
He unslung Bianca from his shoulder and aimed first at one corpse, then another, without losing a bolt. It would have been a waste. They were going to die, Fenris thought. Meryl's strength was spent, and no weapon that he or Varric could wield had done any injury to this creature. They were going to die, torn to pieces by 1,000 dead hands, mustered under one ancient, furious will. And though he readied his blade and tried to face it dispassionately, something wailed in the back of his mind. Not like this. Not with Hawk still lost, trapped, maybe dead. Not without knowing. The dead army had them surrounded.
Beyond their lines, the rift pulsed. The Black Road beckoned. So close, and yet so impossibly far away. Meryl, swaying slightly, reversed her staff once more to draw the blade across her palm. Varric spat on the ground and said, "Right." Fenris summoned up the burn of lyrium, shouted a hopeless war cry, and suddenly, without warning, the world turned white. White and deathly cold. For a moment, Fenris thought it was death in truth. Perhaps he had been killed quickly, some unseen attack. Perhaps this cold emptiness was all that came afterwards. Sense reasserted itself. Magic. Ice magic. A mighty blast of it. Snow and hail whipping past his face. He turned, without thinking, to Meryl, who had almost nothing left. This would kill her without a doubt. She was crouched against the blast, blinking snow off her lashes, looking confused as Fenris felt. "Quickly!" shouted a voice out of the blizzard. "Follow me!" Varric looked up sharply at the sound. Fenris could make out a lean and ragged figure amongst the flinching corpses, silhouetted against the green light coming through the arch. It held a mage's staff glittering with ice. That and its upright posture were all that proved that it was not another corpse. "This way. Are you mad? Do you want to die?" "I don't believe it," Varric said. "Come on." I said Meryl. "I don't think I can run." They both looked at her. "Don't worry about me. I'll be fine." "We're not leaving you here, Daisy," said Varric, but Meryl did not move. "This way," shouted the mage again. "Quickly." The conjured blizzard could not last forever. It was already beginning to abate. Fenris swore. Meryl yelped as he scooped her up in his arms. An undignified position, perhaps, but she would prefer it to being consumed by a demon. He snapped an unnecessary command to Varric, who was already moving, and shouldered past a pair of frozen corpses as he ran towards the voice. Meryl was crying out something. "The orb! Don't leave the—" Fenris adjusted his grip on her, ducked and scooped the orb up as he ran. It flared white again in his hand. He half felt, half saw the fade rift pulse in answer. The strange man stood framed beneath the black gate, with the Magister's road rising behind him. He held out a hand to drag Varric through. Fenris threw himself afterwards, and he and Meryl landed in a tangled heap with the orb beneath them. He rolled over and saw the fade rift blink out of existence. A single corpse pursuing them was caught halfway through. The closing rift neatly bifurcated it, and it collapsed, lifeless. Fenris lay on his back, panting for breath. Meryl was moaning in soft pain. Varric was gasping. There were no more corpses. The cavern, too, was gone. The black gate was a simple arch to nowhere, standing in the midst of rolling emptiness. And the road they lay on ended at its threshold. The elf who had called them through wore ragged robes and a distracted expression. He could have been any age. His face was not old, but he somehow seemed very far from youth. It might have been his baldness that made him seem older. He was standing at the arch's base, looking up at it with pursed lips, lost in thought. He might have forgotten they were there. For the first time since the three of them had entered the Tevinter ruin, there were no whispers. It was Varric who broke the silence. "Chuckles," he said. "Where the hell did you come from?" "Varric," the strange mage, politely turning away from the arch. "It is good to see you well."
"I just got chased into the fade by an army of corpses, and you call this well?"
"You are in one piece and still capable of making incredulous comments," said the stranger. "Is that not well?"
"You know this man?" Fenris demanded.
"Sure I do," said Varric. "Time for introductions, I guess. Though this may be the weirdest place I've ever done introductions."
The stranger's lips quirked.
If the pattern of your life to date holds, Master Tathras, it may only be the strangest place you have done introductions so far.
Thanks. That makes me feel so much better, said Varric. Anyway, Fenris, Meryl, meet Solas, former mage of the Inquisition, apostate, fade expert, and master of the Disappearing Act.
Varric rounded on the man and added,
someday you're going to have to tell me how you managed to vanish so thoroughly even Leliana couldn't find you.
A certain amount of magic was involved, said Solas.
Fenris narrowed his eyes. The man's level tone did not fully conceal the touch of smugness. It was not a quality that inspired any confidence in him, particularly not when found in a strange mage.
The Inquisition had no further need of my expertise once Corypheus was defeated.
Solas carried on.
I chose to return to my wanderings and my studies. I did not wish to be found.
Well, I guess that makes sense, said Varric. Though you could at least have said goodbye. Someone we know is pretty angry with you.
Goodbyes were neither necessary nor appropriate, said Solas coldly.
That's what you think. No, I won't say a word. I know all about bad breakups.
Solas began to say something. Varric spoke over him.
And I have a strict policy about gift horses. I don't look them in the mouth. We'd have been paced on the floor if you hadn't shown up when you did.
Thank you very much, put in Meryl.
She was sitting up now. The white flicker of her healing magic was fading around her abdomen. She did not look quite so pale as she had before.
Why were you in that ruin? Fenris said. Those tunnels have been abandoned for centuries. No one should have been down there.
You certainly should not have been, said Solas. And it is fortunate for you that I was. As it happens, I am an explorer of the Fade. My studies often lead me to strange and dangerous places. On this occasion, I happened to be dreaming in the caverns of Sundermount when a disturbance in the substance of the Fade itself caught my attention. It was surprisingly easy to ascertain the direction and simply blast away through to the cavern where you were trapped. The demon certainly would have killed you if not for my interference. I cannot remember the last time I encountered a spirit of justice, so powerful or twisted against itself.
Maker knows there's injustice to spare in Kirkwall, Varric said, but it sounded like it was attracted thereby. You know what? I can't even say it. It's too crazy.
By the deaths of innocent slaves, said Fenris, slaughtered by Tevinter blood mages in their search for the Golden City.
Right. That. Varric shook his head. Still crazy. You don't expect stories like that one to be so real. Or at least, I don't.
It was bound, said Meryl. It was stuck there, all alone with those horrible memories, for such a long time.
Solas inclined his head gravely.
Then what it became is not surprising.
There was a moment of quiet.
Well, said Varric, here we are, in the Fade. I guess that was the plan, though this isn't quite how I pictured it going.
You planned to enter the Fade? Solas frowned. What could the Inquisition possibly need here? The Inquisitor surely knows better than to...
We do not serve the Inquisitor, said Fenris.
A memory came to him of a tired Dalish woman in her tower in the mountains.
An arrogant, condescending, bald-headed prig, she had said.
Any more than you do,
he added, testing, and thought he saw the mage wince.
Yeah, this isn't inquisitorial business, Varric said. As a matter of fact, it's personal.
Solas's eyebrows lifted, and then his brow wrinkled.
He said. Hawk.
Yes, Hawk, said Varric. My friend chuckles. I know you know what friends are, and I'm not going to believe he's dead till I see the body with my own eyes. Hawk's a powerful mage, said Meryl. He could survive in the Fade. I know he could.
Fenris said nothing. Solas looked from Varric to Fenris to Meryl, shook his head and said,
"You have no idea what you are doing. Your quest is extraordinarily unwise. You must abandon it immediately."
What is that? He was staring at Meryl, or rather, what it was Meryl had cradled in her hands. The orb was no longer glowing with magic. In the foggy, sourceless light that illuminated this place, Fenris could see, for the first time, the fine carvings that were etched all over its surface.
"It's an artifact of Arlathan," Meryl said. "It's called a focus. I've read all about them in ancient scrolls. It said the elven gods used foci to..."
"I know what it is," Solas snapped. "Why do you have it? Where did you find it? They were lost."
"Wait, you stopped for that thing? In the middle of all that?" said Varric.
"Fenris got it for me," Meryl said, "which was very nice of him. Did I say thank you?"
"No," said Fenris. He folded his arms and did not look at any of them.
"Well, thank you." Meryl was smiling a little bit, helplessly, as she looked at it.
"This is such a wonderful discovery. I can't believe it was under Kirkwall all along. We could learn so much from this."
"Better be careful, Daisy. Remember what the Magisters used it for," Varric said. "And Corypheus did some real damage with one of those at the Conclave. You must have heard about that."
Meryl looked blank.
"Or maybe noticed the sky ripping open?" Varric said. "Demons pouring out of Fade Rifts? Our entire reality threatened with total destruction? Is any of this ringing a bell?"
"Oh, yes. That. I forgot about that. I was busy," Meryl said, but she was still smiling at the orb.
"Well, I'll be careful when I'm studying it, I promise."
"Wonderful," said Fenris flatly. "I shall look forward to your destruction of Kirkwall."
"You dare not study it at all," said Solas. "That orb was used for terrible evil. It is tainted by what was done with it. Blighted and corrupted, ruined. It will destroy anything it touches. No tools now exist that could repair it. I have walked the dreams of Arlathan. I know of what I speak. You must..."
"I think I can fix it," Meryl said.
"You cannot," said Solas. "That would require, at the very least, an Arulenholm."
"Yes, I know," said Meryl absently.
She wasn't even looking at Solas. Her attention was all on the orb as she turned it over, examining the carvings.
"I've got one at home."
"And furthermore, it..." Solas blinked.
"You what?" "An Arlenholm. I've got one at home. I put it in a drawer, I think."
Meryl traced a line of carving. "Do you think this is writing? I don't know this alphabet." "It was ancient, even in Arlathan, as a matter of fact. What do you mean, an Arulenholm? Where did you get it?"
"From my clan?"
"Ah, well, no Dalish imitation would be sufficient," Solas said.
"I don't think it's an imitation," said Meryl. "At least, it worked when I repaired the Illuvian. So if it is, it must be a quite good imitation."
"When you..." "What Illuvian?"
"The one I have at home," Meryl said. "I wonder what the writing says. Did you say you know the alphabet? Can you read it?"
"I stopped that. The orb is not stable. The last thing it needs is more magic."
"Oops," Meryl said.
Solas began to remonstrate with her at more length. Varric snorted.
"So, this mage is a friend of yours," Fenris said in an undertone. "Do you trust him?"
"What, Solas? Of course. The Inquisition would have been sunk pretty early if he hadn't volunteered. And he didn't have to volunteer. Most apostates wouldn't," Varric said.
"I'd have him at my back any day. Just don't get him started on ancient magic, ancient elves, or ancient anything else."
Fenris looked at the pair arguing over the orb and said,
"I think it may be too late for that."
Varric snickered.
"Well, Meryl can keep him busy. At least she actually cares."
"You can help me, can't you?" Meryl was saying. "I've never met another elf who studies the magic of Arlathan.
If we work together, we can do so much to help our people.
Solas sputtered. I am not your people, he said. The Dalish mean nothing to me.
Meryl blinked up at him. No, I meant elves, she said. We could help all elves. The elves of the alienage, the slaves of Tevinter, the Dalish. We all came from Arlathon once. Our history belongs to all of us.
She looked absurdly at Fenris.
Isn't that right?
Fenris shrugged awkwardly and looked away. Solas was silent for a moment.
This conversation is futile, he said at last. We are, at the present time, trapped in the Fade.
We must find Hawk, said Fenris.
Oh, yes, said Meryl. The orb disappeared into her pack. Hawk first, of course. We'd better start looking.
You with us, Solas? Said Varric. We could use you. You know more about this place than any of us.
I know the Fade as a dreamer, not an explorer in the flesh, said Solas. And I maintain that this quest is foolish. The wisest course of action would be to seek out the nearest open Fade Rift and return to the waking world as quickly as possible.
No, said Fenris.
We can't, said Meryl. Hey, since when have we ever been wise? Varric said.
Solas looked between the three of them and sighed.
In that case, I shall accompany you and guide you as best I can, and when we return from the Fade, this to Meryl, I would be most pleased to assist you in repairing and studying the orb. That is, if you truly possess an Arulin home.
She does, said Fenris.
Trust me, we've fought of Arturol on Sundermount to get it, Varric said. I don't think any of us will forget that one in a hurry.
Solas's lips tightened slightly.
I see, there is no dissuading you. Our first priority must be to find a route to the area of the Fade where your friend was lost. Either a map, or better yet, a portal. The realms I walked while I dreamed on Sundermount are not far from here. I believe we should begin there.
He looked around once, chose a direction which seemed no different from any other to Fenris's eyes, and stepped off the solid stone of the Magister's Road. The formless nothing solidified instantly into a glittering glyph beneath his feet.
Follow me,
he said, and strode off into the roiling mists, a shining pathway appearing beneath his feet as he walked.
Lucky for us he was in the area, huh? Said Varric. Feeling better, Daisy?
Much better, thank you,
Meryl said. You don't have to worry about me.
We should have a care, said Fenris, watching the lean figure stride away from them. I do not trust this mage.
You say that about all mages, Fenris.
Varric snorted.
You know, she's got you there.